I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
And that is us on a beautiful Monday here in South Florida. Glad you could join us up until 8 o'clock this evening with Danny G. We have a lot to do. Big week. Spring football games coming up. Scrimmages were last week. Games coming up this week. Colleges are back in town. Got a chance to see a few of them. Saw Randy Shannon on Saturday. Saw a couple of other coaches hanging out. But this week is just this is what it's all about. And there's games starting on Wednesday all the way through next week. And this is the time of year that coaches will have a get a better indication of what they have to do to work for the next couple of months before the season starts. I mean, this thing goes rapid all year round. I mean, if you go out there to any high school football field, even after this week at the beginning of June, and you see the summer workouts and the camps and the combines, it's a never-ending process. If you are interested in going to any of the events, go to our website, SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com. That's SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, or simply go to WQAM.com and find our icon on there. Press it, and you'll find a lot of stuff. And one of them is today's blog on the entire schedule for the upcoming week and into next week. You'll get a chance to see who's playing who. A couple of good games going on. This is the time. I mean, I'm not a big intra-squad guy. The kids hit for 6 weeks, 5 weeks, and, practice against one another. It's time to let loose against somebody else. Some coaches don't like that. Some coaches just relish the fact that they can, like Deerfield Beach is going up to play Trinity Christian, one of the top teams. Speaking about that, Max Preps came out with the early look. St. Thomas Aquinas, number 3, Central Miami Central, is also in that mix as well, rightfully so. Don't be surprised to see a few other local teams as well. Our show this evening, about 7:45, we'll check in with our hurricane report. Andrew Ivins from 247 will join us. We'll check him, as you heard, with Joe Zagacki. Coach Ephraim Banda had his camps, sharpening up on some of his camps. Still didn't reveal the Paradise camp, but Coach Manny Diaz will do that. Speaking about Miami Central, had a chance to go out and watch him scrimmage the other day. That program doesn't skip many beats, believe me. Coach Roland Smith, former UM standout himself, he'll join us about 7:30 or so. Coach Pat Surtain, his team missed out on the state championship game last year, but getting a chance to watch them early Saturday morning. They're right back on track, too. They have quality athletes, a lot of young kids, but certainly their young kids are very productive, and they will be. He'll join us about 7:20 or so, but we kick off this evening's show. As we do, we try to get every program looked at throughout. Everybody loves FSU, Florida, Miami, no matter what, UCF, everything in the state. And Rob Cassidy from Rivals.com, who does an exceptional job, he goes everywhere. He's on, goes to every event. And this week he's spending the week driving around the state of Florida, going to some key places, looking at some of the prospects. So this way he could see him firsthand and not have to rely on what somebody else is talking to him about. But certainly he's kind enough to join us this evening. Rob, thanks so much for taking the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm actually standing out here at Miami Central right now.
Oh, wow. you didn't leave yet.
No, I'm still here.
Oh, I thought you were getting boiled peanuts and pecans already from the roadside stands.
No, I'm on my way to Orlando after this, so I'll drive straight from here to there.
Talk about that, because you get an opportunity through your many events. I know you travel throughout the Southeast and get an opportunity to see some of the top talent. And certainly 2020, the class of 2020, which is the upcoming senior class for next year, this is really a loaded, as they say, a loaded potato. I mean, you have a tremendous amount of everything. Usually we are defensive back and wide receiver heavy, which we are again, but certainly have a few quarterbacks sprinkled in the mix, a couple of offensive linemen and really good defensive linemen. Talk about
running
this.
Running backs, too. Larry.
Yes.
Let's do the class of running backs, from DeMarcus Bowman to the kid at Jesuit, Chaney.
Right.
Committed to Miami. It's really could be a really good year at the top of running backs. And like you said, we talked about this before on the show, Larry. South Florida gets this reputation where it doesn't produce quarterbacks or something. I kind of think it's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Right,
People just kind of decided that. Because I'm out here watching the Marsh kid, Octavius Marsh, Central. And, I think he's a guy that has a chance to play for a major Power 5 program.
Yeah.
He's got the size. He's got the arm strength. Tennessee just offered.
Oh, they did offer. Okay, because we were out there the other day, and he throws the ball extremely well. And you talk about running backs. Look at the two that they have in place there. Maybe three with the kid Henry, but you certainly look at Owens, who's really good, and then Amari, who went to Jackson last year, Amari Daniels, and he's back as well. And it just seems that, I think you're at the right place because you look at those positions. You talk about offensive linemen. Here, Central had two marquee kids last year. One went to Florida State, and it looked like they just grew another arm because, you have size out there and with Big Baby. He's only a sophomore, going to be a junior next year. Lawrence Seymour, who was a University of Miami commit. You talked about the quarterback situation, but the defense. It seems like Northwestern, Central, all of the Heritage, St. Thomas, are all those teams are predicated on the defense. Talk about that as well.
Yeah, the defense out here that I just got done watching, even with the two corners you have here, it seems like once a year in South Florida, a couple years ago with American Heritage, you get a secondary that just has multiple blue-chip guys, and this is it this year. Henry Gray and Harrell out here. Florida State, Gray is uncommitted. They're both in the Miami Central secondary, and they're both special kids, high-level kids, not just FBS kids, but high-level FBS kids. And I think we take that for granted sometimes in South Florida. This doesn't happen in other areas of the country where you have a secondary that has two guys like that. But it seems to happen every year now.
And the kid Stanley, too, who came over from Chaminade.
From Chaminade, yeah.
Yeah, he's there, too. So,
He reminds me a little bit of Trajan Bandy, Larry, a little bit.
Yeah. Long arms, good recovery speed, tremendous athlete like Trajan is. Also, there's you lose the linebackers at Central like they did last year, really quality players, but they're plugging in some young kids as well. What do the linebackers around look like this year?
Yeah, I don't think it's as loaded as it has been in past years. They've got some youth out here. Names I don't really know yet, but I will as soon as practice is over and I get a chance to talk to some of these kids.
Right. Now, you've been having an opportunity to go to a lot of different places. You saw a couple of good programs. Are you kind of surprised that St. Thomas is in that national picture early at number 3?
A little bit. They're always going to be there because of just the depth of talent at St. Thomas. They've got some question marks as they have at quarterback. And as long as those kind of continue, it's going to be too hard to give them the benefit of the doubt right now. But you can never, when you have a program like that rolls out a college kid on the 2-deep, even their backups are going D1, it's impossible to count them out from the national picture.
I had a chance to watch Deerfield last week. This is a team that kind of, revamped a little bit. I think that, as you mentioned, the quarterbacks don't get a lot of play. I think Deron King is going to be a real surprise. He got bigger. He's stronger. His arm strength is a lot better. And then the addition of Xavier Restrepo, who people spend more time on what he isn't rather than what he is. And last week in the scrimmage, he had 2 touchdowns receiving. He picked one off and went the distance. Coach Jevon Glenn loves him. Talk about, Deerfield as a team that didn't get over the hump last year but has a chance this year.
Oh, we mentioned running backs earlier, and there's a good one there.
Yeah.
Well, Rooster, Jalen Custer, who was committed to Oklahoma, is not committed there now. They're good in the skill positions. I'm real interested in that slot wide receiver they have in DeJuan McDougal out there,
right,
who I've seen feast or famine with him. There are times when he is good. He is really, really good. If he can develop that consistency, I think he's got a chance to go to a high major program as well. That's going to be a loaded team to watch.
Yeah, no doubt. And then also you got a lot of other teams. We had a chance to see American Heritage. We're going to have Coach Sertan on this evening. They're not as experienced as they've been in the past, but if you take a look at some of the young kids, they have an eighth grade running back who will be a freshman in the fall, the kid Fletcher, who's just amazing. He looks like a Sony Michel already. They have the kid Thomas, who's only a freshman at defensive end. But then you got some, they've built a really good secondary. Daryl Porter Jr., who's really good. Talk about maybe this team, because the team that they have to get over the hump this year would be Northwestern and not Cardinal Gibbons.
Yeah, I haven't seen American Heritage yet. I'll be going out there later this week on the way back home. You know, but I have seen the corner kid, 7-on-7 and otherwise. You know, he's a kid with a frame that's one first off the bus, kind of looks like those other guys that have come out of that program before.
Right.
And I'm interested to see the younger kids there that I don't know yet because I haven't been out there yet this spring.
So you're taking off. Where are you going to be going for the week?
Well, I'm all over. I'll be in Tampa. I'll be in Orlando. I'm going to Apopka tomorrow. I'm going to Ocala to go see that Vanguard team.
Right.
So I'll be around the south area of the state. I'm not going to go much further north of Gainesville. But
and you even had an invite to Pensacola, and you're turning that down.
I'll be going there in the fall.
Yeah, but at least you got an opportunity to see a lot of kids. Great seeing you the other day. We'll look forward to seeing you on this Saturday. Really good, eight teams up in Palm Beach beginning at 12 o'clock. I'm looking forward to that as well. We'll go get Roland Smith. Remind him that we're going to be calling him at 7:30.
I'll let him know right now. Thanks, sir.
All right, thanks so much. Rob Cassidy from Rivals.com joining us. Busy man all over the place, starting it down here in Central. I'm telling you, you look at that list, and I know it's an early list, but St. Thomas, as he said, rightfully so, always very competitive, and they announced that they're going to be playing De La Salle, a team that came here several years ago. You know, they don't see, that's the thing. The Northwesterns, the Centrals, the Carroll Cities, you can't afford to duck teams. You just can't. Not if you're going to claim that you're as good as, you know, the Boscos and teams like that in California. So you got to play that tremendous schedule, and that's what they're doing. And a lot of them have a leeway to do that. Don't forget this evening, Kevin Rogers will be here from 8 until 10 o'clock. K-Raj, haven't seen K-Raj in a while. We'll get a chance to see him this evening. He'll talk about anything that you want. A lot of NBA going on, huge, the NHL playoffs as well. Don't forget Andrew Ivins, 7:45 from 247 Sports at 7:30. As we mentioned, Coach Roland Smith. And when we come back, Coach Pat Surtain, head coach at Plantations American Heritage.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
A beautiful Monday evening as we welcome you back. South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Larry Bluestein and Danny G up until 8 o'clock. And then I'm so used to saying 9. K-Raj, I haven't seen K in a... Just saw him. Looks great, as usual, and he'll have a lot to talk about in the 2 hours. Believe me, Danny. I mean, you got the NBA, and I'll tell you the... And then tomorrow night, the lottery. I know Knicks fans are excited. Phoenix, everybody's excited about the lottery tomorrow evening. But what we're excited about this week, and I told you before, is having an opportunity to see a lot of these teams go into action, the high school teams, for spring. Because spring here is bigger than the fall anywhere else. I mean, it's amazing. You go to just about any practice, and especially this week, games, you'll see. It's a good bet that if you go to, like, the Cardinal Gibbons is playing on Wednesday night, and they have, I think, Clearwater Central Catholic and Miami Berlin Jesuit, and just to see some of the prospects in there, there'll be 15 to 20 college coaches. They'll be all over the place. But had an opportunity to see three really good teams on Saturday. All three are contenders. As I told you, Miami Central, we'll talk to Roland Smith in a few minutes. A two-time defending state champion Northwestern. Looks like that Max Edwards and his team is not skipping a beat. And early in the morning, had the pleasure of going by American Heritage and Plantation, and I'll tell you what, I came away really, really sold on what this team is going to be about. Tremendous program, a lot of young kids in a lot of places, but that coaching staff, and that sometimes takes you over the line. And one of the best coaches, especially, I mean, he's lost two games in forever in his coaching career. Pat Surtain is kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Blue. Glad to be on, man.
I was excited the other day. I mean, you know, I came there thinking that you're going to have all these little babies and carriages and all that stuff, and I walk away thinking, wait a minute, you got an eighth-grade running back who's the reincarnation of Sony Michel, a defensive end who's a ninth grade that looks like he's a senior already, and a lot of other good kids in between. Has this been a surprise to you how much these kids matured and kind of taken the leadership role? Because look at, over the last 2 years, all the players that you've lost to the next level and you've been able to maintain.
Yeah, it has. You know, it's been a a pleasant surprise. You know, the guys buy in, especially, you know, coming off of a disappointing season to us, not to many people.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, our goal each and every year is to hoist the trophy, but we did. But, you know, guys are hungry. They're ready for redemption. And, you know, they came in the spring with a mindset that we're going to get better each and every day. And they've done that so far, man. So, you know, we're looking forward to what the fall and the playoffs ultimately brings.
You look back over the last couple of years, and the big thing for you is team speed. I mean, and that's always been the difference. And it looks like this year you've built towards that again. You have kids on both sides of the ball that fly. And when you look at it, if most teams lose three linebackers like you did, and certainly with Dorian Jones moving on to the next level, that's a huge loss. It wouldn't be so easy, but you have the type of players who it's the next man up. And I know people think that's kind of like a trite saying, but in your case, it's true. These kids look like, you know, they're ready to take the leadership. And to me, you guys have predicated yourself on being such a quick defensive team, you know, with your son and with so many, with Marco and some of the other kids that have been in the mix. Now you're having defensive team speed up front. You have some linebackers that can run a little bit, and your secondary, as usual, is lights out. Talk about that, because I think people lose the fact that if you build a team around speed, yeah, you're going to learn the technique, and you're going. But if you have that team speed that you have, I mean, you can accomplish anything. Talk about that too.
Absolutely. You know, there's you can't quantify that. You know, if you have a fast team and you have versatile players, then you can mix and match and move guys around. And you know, we pride ourselves on having ability. We have a lot of guys who can play a lot of different positions, you know, to get a lot of speed on the field, especially at the high school level. I think speed wins. And like I said, you can move guys around, bring guys from every which way. And then when you couple that with guys on the back end who can hold up in man-to-man coverage, you know, it makes it very difficult on the offense and the speed we got at our skill position. You know, it makes it easy, you know.
Right.
But with me calling players this year, you know, you got to dumb it down and take their hands and let them do the work. And I feel the same. The guys have done a pretty good job of that.
And your coaching staff. I mean, this is a coaching staff that, I mean, you're all on the same page. You've been there, done that. I mean, you have guys that know every – now that as you're in your another year, with these same guys, talk about that. Because I know, I mean, everyone goes, well, just because they played in the NFL doesn't – and it's true. I mean, just because you played in the NFL doesn't make you a great coach. But you happen to have people who had played in OG and also with Darryl and yourself and some really good people around you guys that, you know, it's not just you played in the NFL, but you guys got a lot out of it,
right,
when you did play. Yeah. Talk about that, because I think that's important as well.
Absolutely. You know, as a head coach, you're only as good as the guys around you. And, you know, I have a staff that I would take over any staff in the country. And I think that the key to us is we've been together so long, and we actually have five guys who are on campus all day. So that makes a big difference with us being able to communicate with the kids, make sure they're doing the right things in school, and kind of having a relationship beyond the football field. But, you know, I have guys who played at the highest level. I have guys who coached 20-some-odd years,
right,
coached at the college level. And, you know, we have a nice mix as a group. And, you know, we all get along. You know, we have our differences, but at the same time, we have one common goal in mind, and that's make sure these kids graduate, come to school, and win state championships around here.
Yeah, no doubt. Pat Surtain joining us, American Heritage Plantation head football coach. Another challenging year. Cardinal Gibbons goes to 4A, but Northwestern comes to 5A. But not only that, is you've always put yourself in a position playing a schedule during the regular season that more than gets you ready for the postseason. What anything from a schedule standpoint? Any trips? I know you're going up north again.
Yeah, you know, that's what we pride ourselves on. You know, anybody can play a cupcake schedule and go 11-0, 12-0, but You know, we pride ourselves on playing anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere.
Right.
You know, this year is no different. We start off with Chaminade, then we have Miami Pace. Of course, Coach Mario took the head coaching job there. Then we go to Gonzaga and play a very good team in Washington, D.C. We actually travel up there.
Right.
Come back, go to Jacksonville, play Trinity Christian.
Wow.
Then play Miramar. So, you know, play Cardinal Gibbons again. So we have a very good schedule that I think we'll be able to compete with, and is only going to make us stronger for the playoff push.
Yeah, I mean, and certainly, I mean, you take a look at some of the successful graduates of this program who have moved on to the next level. We saw, you know, with Sony Michel winning a world title in the Super Bowl, which is awesome. I mean, what does that do for your program, for these kids to see those guys going on to the next level or the collegiate level, like Chatfield and some of these other guys and your son? And what does it do? And also having a guy like Anthony Schwartz, who is doing a super job at Auburn, and not just a track guy. Everybody just thought, wow, he's just a track guy, but he got it done on the football field. What does that do for your coaching staff and the school to see that?
It's great, man, because, you know, first and foremost, they know that our kids have the grades in order to get into college. They have the test scores. That's first and foremost. But at the same time, they know that our kids have been coached up well, and that's living proved by, you know, you have three starting freshman cornerbacks in the SEC with Marco, Pat, and Titan starting the SEC as true freshmen. You know, that speaks a lot about your program. But not only that, it's a family atmosphere. And, you know, we welcome all our guys back in the offseason. You see, you can come back some morning, we have 20 guys who are all playing college ball come back. You know, that's what we want to build around, the family atmosphere. Guys come back to mentor the younger guys and to build a cycle, you know, of guys on the next level, and not only becoming great football players, but great human beings and graduating and becoming successful in life in general.
Good stuff. Well, Coach, again, thanks so much for taking the time. I know you guys just got done practicing. It was really fun to go out there and see the kids because, like I said, I'm a believer in that, in the next man stepping up, and you got some talent. I can't wait to see your running back grow up. Holy mackerel.
Absolutely.
What a star. And also the kid Thomas at your defensive end amongst everybody else. Again, American Heritage Plantation loaded up again. Challenging schedule. Coach, thanks again for taking time.
No problem, dude, man. We're doing it for the culture.
Yeah, you are. All right. Take care. Pat Surtain joining us. Tremendous coach, a great guy to be around. Certainly everybody remembers him from his Dolphin days, but to just see him out there and just bringing that knowledge to the kids is something that's been successful for quite a few years at American Heritage. And, you know, you talk about success and the schools and having an opportunity to see teams year after year after year, the Northwesterns and obviously the Miami Centrals, another program I had the pleasure of getting an opportunity to watch the other day, see a lot of the kids that are young. But you talk about a coaching staff, and Roland Smith has done an awesome job through the years, as you know, whether it be at the University of Miami or at Northwestern where he played. He's always been a student of the game, somebody who's extremely smart, ahead of the curve, as they say, and has surrounded himself with people he trusts and certainly guys that get a lot out of their kids. He's kind enough to join us this evening. Coach, thanks so much for taking the time.
Thanks for having me, Larry.
Anytime. Pleasantly surprised the other day, you know. I mean, I shouldn't be surprised anymore, but you go over there and it's now you're just getting the same type of player. I mean, a kid will leave and you plug in another guy, you know, taking a look at your quarterback, Marsh, who's really, really nice, and your running game, when it's at full strength, is going to be as good. But the one thing that I'm really surprised year in and year out is your offensive line. How many quality kids you have. I mean, like I said, you lost one of the premier centers last year in the country to go to FSU, and you guys are not skipping a beat. Talk about that, because I think that's important, because you know as well as I do what you win games in the trenches, and certainly you guys have that. Talk about that, what that's like, and how you guys continue to keep coming up with those type of kids.
I think my coaching staff, Coach Sharp, Coach Michael Ross, and Coach Casey Stevens does a tremendous job with the trenches. You know, they we call it developing the trenches. You can't win any games without the big guys in the trenches, and they do a tremendous job of teaching and making sure those guys are fundamentally sound to be great offensive linemen and mentally tough and physically tough. We keep them out there, on long drives because they know those guys, those are the guys that take a while to get in shape. So, therefore, throughout practice, you'll see a lot of substitution going on, but you may not see but 5 to 7 guys maybe alternating on the offensive line because
right.
That's how we get those big guys in shape. And you can't win without them, and they do a tremendous job with those big guys up front.
You know, I was just talking to Pat Surtain, and he does, he's like you, and you. I think you guys kind of set the mold of playing those challenging schedules and not just relying on the fact that you were going to play a Carroll City or a Northwestern or a Booker T every year. You wanted to turn it up quite a few notches, and that's been very important towards your program. You look back at the day when you went to Hoover and ruined their home streak. You look at some of the go up to St. John last year where the team was a senior-oriented team. Nationally rated, and you took them 4 or 5 overtimes. Talk about that. Vegas a couple years ago to play a Gorman team that hadn't lost too much at home, beat St. Thomas there. Talk about that, because I think that's important, because the bar's already raised high enough playing in South Florida. You know that as well as I do. You played St. Thomas last year. You've had an opportunity to play, every year Northwestern, which is a war, and all those teams. But you've raised that bar even higher by taking these kids around the country and showing them, hey, South Florida is still the epicenter for talent, but there's other places to play this game.
Where have I been at? Even when I was at Miami Northwestern, when I played against South Lake Carroll, the number one team right there in the nation,
right.
Supposed to play against the team in South Carolina that the top receiver, A.J. Green, played for. They didn't want to play us with that Ja'Cory Harrison team because they were saying that they heard it was noted. Then we got a chance to put Booker T. Washington against them, who was Timothy Harris, who was my offensive coordinator.
Right.
And Northwestern just became the head coach. But, every year at Miami Central and wherever I've been at, I always try to play a daunting schedule. And because that's what the college coaches want to see. They want to see those kids playing big-time games against great competition. And if you think you're the best, I always think that my program and my coaching staff is the best in the nation. We want to face some of these best teams and some of the best quality opponents year in and year out. This year is no different. We start off in the Andre Johnson Classic where we play against Cedar Grove, a team from out of Georgia, won
right.
class, won state championship in Georgia. Then we play against St. Francis, one of the top teams in the DMV area year in and year out. They're loaded. They probably might be in the top 5 in the nation. And we're supposed to play against, Don Bosco, but, they couldn't play, so we got St. Francis. Then after that, we play against Booker T. Washington, who always Coach Harris and his staff does a tremendous job year in and year out.
Neighborhood rivals, those are the toughest.
They hold up the toughest. Then we come back with Carroll City,
Yeah.
And then we have Northern, our district game, and then we have Northwestern Week 6. So year in and year out, we don't run against nobody. We always want to play the best people with the best talent. We're not in Northwestern and Carroll City is not in class 6A. We're still in 6A. We lost our brothers to different classifications, but I still want to play those teams because you get the best out of your kids when you play games of that magnitude. And the schools want to see it. When they put in the tape, I want them to be able to watch our team against some quality opponents. And those are some quality opponents and some quality coaching staff that we're going up against week in and week out.
Yeah, no doubt. Roland Smith joining us, head coach at Miami Central, has done an awesome job. And certainly you take a look, and I remember you and I were sitting in the hotel in Dallas for that South Lake Carroll game. And the respect that Miami Central gets. We talked about this last year when you were out in Vegas 2 years ago and how, the city rallied around you and the kids learned a lot. But you're like Pat. I was talking to Pat about his kids, looking at a Sony Michel or seeing his son, as he mentioned, he has 3 guys, that are 3 freshmen from that team a couple years ago with Marco Wilson starting in the SEC at cornerback. Well, you're in that same boat, too. You look around and see some of the top football players and guys that are achieving everywhere, not just at major college. You look at a Furman Silva, a kid who was at FIU, now is going to take his senior year at Marshall, a kid that was way beyond, beyond anybody's radar, and now he's doing tremendous. Your coach coaching staff. You had a great time the other day talking to Rakeem Cato. Here's a guy who set all types of the all, one of the all-time passing leaders, Tommy Shuler, guys like Darrell Eskridge. Kids that come back and gravitate towards winning programs like yours. Talk about that, because I think that's important when you have a lot of your players, which do, that they come back not only to coach with you, but to come back and say, hey, what's up, coach?
That is very important in your program when you have guys that played and been a part of the program and helped set the tradition here at Miami Central with the championships and the pedigree that these guys set, not only in high school but in college, but be able to come back and be coaching or even assist us, you know, with our kids throughout the season is awesome. And I couldn't say enough for having Tommy Shula and Darrell Estridge on my staff, and then just Rakeem Cato just coming out helping out and giving me the time that he put out there with my quarterback along with my quarterback coach, Coach Anthony White, does a tremendous job. My offensive coordinator, Coach AJ Snipes. You know, I mean, you can't win without those former players. You know, letting those kids know what it's like to be a part of the program and what it's like to go through the grind and what it's like to work. And when those kids see those former players come back, that makes them want to even work even harder to impress them and try to show them that, hey, we're not going to let the rope down. We're going to continue the tradition and keep on the legacy that you all put forward before them.
You come up, now you end the spring on Thursday. You have North Miami in your spring game, a chance to, you know, see a different team. You haven't seen North Miami. I know you had a chance to see them. What are you looking to get out of this week? Because I know that you held some kids out for the green-white scrimmage the other day, but they'll be back in action. Are you trying to look at some consistency on both sides of the ball?
Most definitely. It's always good to see your kids go up against a different opponent and somebody they don't see every day. And you want to see where they're at and see where they're at this time and see what you got to work on coming through the summer to get ready for the fall, you know. So, you know, we just want to see the kids compete. We're going to be going at it for 19 days, and that 20th day is going to be that game against North Miami. And we want to just see the kids develop throughout the spring and see how they, react and play ball on game day on this Thursday. So the team we're going to be facing is a team that that's Miami Senior High School that wanted to play us. You know, Coach Pat and his team wanted to play us, and they was bothering about it. They canceled a game to play us, so we're very excited to play them and have a good outing on Thursday night.
Good stuff. Coach, again, congratulations on everything that's come, and I know that you have a lot of great things. You know, we'll be there all the way with you, and thanks so much for taking the time on this busy day.
And I appreciate you giving me a call and having me on your show, Larry. Thanks for what you do for high school athletics.
Good stuff. Roland Smith from Miami Central. What a class act. I mean, one right on top of the other, Pat Surtain. And most, like I said, most of the fans know Pat, from his playing days. But if you watch him as a coach, it's amazing how he just continues to, you know, his pride. I mean, that's the same thing with Roland. I mean, these guys have achieved already in life, but they're giving back in such a way that they're teaching these kids at a high level. When we come back, we talk University of Miami Hurricane recruiting. Andrew Ivins from 247 is next.
Radio.com.
Great segue to come back in to finish up a show for a Monday evening, South Florida High School Sports.com radio show. Larry Bluestein, Danny G up until 8 o'clock. Don't forget, Greg Likens will come your way. No, it's not. It's kids. I've had. Oh, it's
the legendary Kevin Rogers.
It's the legend Kevin Rogers. I have that ingrained in my head every week. But K Raj, I even saw him. So that just shows you. I'm getting senile. Holy mackerel. I just saw him, and that was it. And don't forget, we usually have our is it a podcast, Danny, or what is it, the replay of the show?
It's the podcast on iTunes and radio and radio.com.
Okay, so we'll usually have it after the show or the next couple, but the system, not from what I heard throughout Entercom worldwide, is down. So won't have that tonight, but we'll have it up. Danny will have it, send it on to the next, and hopefully tomorrow it'll get back up as well. Be pretty exciting. Don't forget, go to SouthFloridaHighSchoolSports.com, latest website for everything. Recruiting also has the schedules for this week, and it's going to be exciting. As Danny played our University of Miami lead-in, as he does quite a bit, and he just has his ear to the ground at all times, University of Miami Hurricanes. Andrew Ivins from 247 is kind enough to join us this evening. Andrew, thanks so much for taking the time.
Not a problem, Blue. What's up?
I'm just, you know, busy, but you're a lot more busy, and you've got an opportunity this week to stay busy almost every week, starting Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and all day Saturday. There's events. But now you have a specific, even though you recruit and cover everybody, but you're specific to see the UM guys, to see how they're doing, and you do an extremely great job. A lot of kids playing. You did an awesome job on the kid Moise the other day from Chaminade, who was a 2020 commit to University of Miami. You've had a lot of great features on some of the kids doing well. What have you found this, you know, over last year at this time? What have you found some of the UM recruits and the commitments? I know everybody's trying to pry them away from Miami, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, I think in the class of 2020, I think, especially down here in South Florida, Miami's done a good job of getting some local guys who I think are going to be difference makers at the next level. The one name that really jumps out to me is Jaden Francois. I went and watched him practice, I think that was like 2 weeks ago. And, you know, we go to these camps and we see all these quote-unquote national defensive backs. And I think Jaden's a guy who, just given how the cycle is across the board, I think for Miami, he's a guy they have to get. We initially kind of thought he was going to be a cornerback. Looks like they're going to play him at safety, kind of in that Jaquan Johnson type role. So I'm really high on him. I think he's a guy, especially since he's going to enroll early, that you can kind of plug and play. You mentioned Willie Moise, the defensive tackle there at Chaminade. I think what I really like about him is he just eats space. And Manny Diaz's defense, you need a guy who's going to take on blockers and kind of let your running backs run free, linebackers run free. So I'm really excited about him. I haven't really had a chance to see much of the other 2020 commits, hoping to do that over the next couple of days, get up to see Brian Robinson up there at Palm Beach Central. But the 2020 class so far, everything's looking good. And then obviously Don Chaney plays on Wednesday night. So I'm excited to see him go up against what should be some good defenses.
Exactly. And you also take a look at some of the targets that Miami has. I mean, I know Henry Gray's still in the mix. We got it. You know, he didn't play the other day, but he'll be in Thursday night against North Miami. Who are some of the targets that Miami really, you know, they have their hooks on, but I mean, kind of like it's silent in a lot of circles that they're really going after? Any kids that people want to watch that may make that move and may commit within the next couple of months?
I don't know about committing in the next couple of months, but there's definitely some guys that the coaches have already seen this spring, and they'll get out and see over the next 2 weeks. I kind of wrote a feature insider today, just kind of going basically down the board of who they want. Some names to know that I can just throw out there. There's the two kids up at in Jacksonville at Oakleaf, Chance Williams and Jalen Rivers. Chance is a top 247 defensive end. Jalen's a top 247 offensive lineman. Those two have talked about playing together for well over a year now. They've been friends for, they say, 9 years.
Wow.
They're going to take their first official visit this week into Florida. I wouldn't be surprised if Miami gets them on campus at some point in June for an official visit. I think a decision is going to come quickly after that. Florida State and Georgia are also involved in those recruitments. So those are two guys to know. Trenton Simpson, a linebacker out of Charlotte, I know they're going to go see him this week. He's kind of an athletic freak, that new age type linebacker, a guy who can play all three downs, cover guys in space. He just put Miami in his top five, kind of sight unseen. So he's a guy that the coaches, they need linebackers. You know, they're losing that big three of Shaq, Pinckney, and McLeod. So they're trying to reload there. Jalen Harrell, he's defensive end. Another guy to keep an eye on, a name to remember. He's out in Tampa at Berkeley Prep. I think I'm going to go see him play on Thursday night. He's okay. A guy who he's listed as a linebacker. I think he's probably going to be a defensive end in their scheme. And there's some folks in Coral Gables that feel good about him. And then we can't talk targets without talking about Isaiah Walker, the offensive lineman at Miami Norland. I had a chance to watch his inner squad scrimmage. I mean, they just don't make him like that down here in South Florida. He's a lean, you know, probably 275, 280 pounds. That type of offensive tackle that seems to be getting drafted all the time down in the NFL. And I think given Miami's needs at that position and how that's gone in recent years, he's a kid they absolutely have to have.
I see South Carolina gets their nose in on a lot. We're talking about Walker, who was he committed or is he still committed to South?
I mean, he's still committed. That's kind of the latest. And, yeah, you know, they did a kind of an excellent job, I guess, just making that evaluation early. P. Rob, the cornerback coach, he does a great job, I think, of getting involved down here. But It was just a good projection. I mean, if you saw Isaiah Walker last year, I think he was probably only 245 pounds. He's kind of added some of the right weight. But, yeah, kudos to South Carolina kind of for finding him. I mean, we moved him up pretty high in the rankings, and we weren't sure if that was the right move. And then after I saw him, I mean, albeit in an inter-squad scrimmage, I mean, he looked pretty dang impressive.
Yeah, he's a man-child. And, you know, they have a lot of kids that are hanging in the balance, obviously, that at position, mostly line positions. Running backs, it seems like they're – I know you want to keep adding, but now, as you mentioned, with Chaney, and you still have the package to take off on some of these kids that just came in. And secondary-wise, they're still stacked up with young kids. Any other positions that is a major concern? Obviously, offense and defensive lines always major, but anywhere else, anybody that you may think, hey, listen, Miami could surprise some people by getting in the mix with a kid who's already, you know, maybe committed somewhere?
Yeah, I mentioned linebacker.
Right.
I think that's kind of one of the storylines, and obviously the offensive line, that'll always be a storyline with Miami until they really kind of right that ship. I'm interested to see what they do at wide receiver. Now, they got two guys that I really like, Brian Robinson, I mentioned him earlier, and Marcus Fleming, the kid from Miami Northwestern. Two guys I'm very high on, two guys I know a lot of Power 5 schools are high on. But they kind of really need to rebuild that room. I mean, they've lost a lot of guys over the years.
Yeah.
And it's young. One guy I know the staff is very high on is Jalen Hyatt. He's a newly minted four-star wide receiver out of South Carolina. He ran a 4.33 on the lasers at one of the Nike camps. Currently committed to Virginia Tech. He's telling us that he's probably going to take an official visit. So, I know new wide receivers coach Taylor Stubblefield's been out there to see him, and they're also now targeting a wide receiver out in Las Vegas, Romeo Odunze, I think is his last name.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so it's going to be interesting to see. I think they would love to stay in-state and stay local at wide receiver, but just because there's such a need and just because so many schools recruit this region, I think they're actually going to probably go out of state and look to add one or two more with Fleming and Robinson.
Andrew, also, this time last year, I remember I had, in fact, I was looking at it the other day in notes that you were talking about. You were up in Jacksonville, and you talked about Jeremiah and what a great job he did during the spring this year. Talk about him as a receiver and maybe a potential guy that could really get in the mix this year.
He's oftentimes the forgotten guy in Miami's 2019 signing class. You know, he committed. He shut things down, so I think a lot of fans just kind of like, you know, that you just kind of forget about him.
Right. We
as fans is always, what's next? I mean, you can land a commitment from a five-star one day, and you want to know the five-star they're going to get the next day. So
yeah.
He's a guy I think a lot of people kind of overlook. He had an excellent season as a senior, came in, enrolled early. He's a yes-sir, no-sir type of kid. I think he takes the coaching very well. I was surprised last year when, you know, D. Wiggins got in the field early. I was also a bit surprised when Brian Hightower got there early. And I think, actually, Jeremiah Payton is a little bit more mature probably than Wiggins, maybe not Hightower. So I wouldn't be surprised if he found his way. And just kind of how things played out this spring, Jeff Thomas got hurt, Hightower got hurt.
Yeah.
Mike Harley dinged up his ankle. I mean, he got as many reps as possible. And it's like you're drinking through a fire hose. But guess what? Everyone else is trying to learn that offense as well. So
yeah.
I would not be surprised if he gets some valuable snaps. I don't know about week one against Florida, but maybe later on in the season as he develops.
Good stuff. That's Andrew Ivins, 247. Brings it every day. Checks out everything. Follow him this week especially. You want to find some stuff out inside to you also. Everything going good. Andrew, again, thanks so much for taking the time. We'll see you definitely Wednesday, Cardinal Gibbons, and definitely Saturday in Palm Beach.
For sure, Blue. Looking forward to it.
Good stuff. Andrew Ivins rounds out what has been a tremendous show. Rob Cassidy from Rivals started it out. Coach Pat Surtain from American Heritage. Coach Roland Smith from Miami Central. And that is it. Don't forget K-Raj. Kevin Rogers is next. He goes from till 10 o'clock. Talk about anything that you want to talk about. Certainly NBA, the lottery tomorrow. Danny G, thanks so much. Don't forget the podcast will be up probably tomorrow, the next day, but don't forget, when it goes on, we will certainly let you know via our social media. That's it. Next Monday, we're back again with our great show.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.